Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Life Walk with Christ God. It is a steamy Monday evening, and I mean it is hot. Woo! Anyway, it's 7:11 p.m. We're still like in the 90s here. So, but anyway, welcome to trimradio.com, Trim Radio Network. Anyway, we are going over, and we are in Leviticus chapter 25. Just a great book, long, I know, but it's wonderful. King James Bible, page 153. So this is the law now, and we talked about this last week. We had the law of the sanctified name of God, oil for the lamps, all the different things that he's broken down, the rules, the laws, and everything like that. So here we go, law of the Sabbath year. Then we're going to have the law of the year of Jubilee. We're gonna keep marching onward here because we're getting to that point where we are not far away from Numbers, and Numbers is pretty impressive. So let's see how far we can get today, and let's move on to it again. Chapter 25, page 153, Law of the Sabbath Year, King James Bible. And the Lord spoke unto Moses in the Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard." And if you've noticed this as we went through, it's very interesting because as we got on, even from Noah's Ark, God never excluded the animals. God never excluded the earth. This is just testimony and proof that this is a true living entity, connected with us. And it's a living organism, and that's what the earth is. And it's not ours. So we have to remember that this is why God is setting this up and making sure that we're going to go ahead and take care of it. And he's telling us how to do this at the same time. But you notice it follows, too. He created the world in 6 days. And on the seventh day, God looked back upon it all. He rested. He looked at it and saw all the good that it was. So let's take a look at this now. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger which sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in the land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. And thou shalt number the seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement, ye shall make the trumpet sound throughout your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be a it shall be a Jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man unto his possession. And ye shall return every man unto his family. A Jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed, for it is a Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this Jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's land hand, Ye shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy thy neighbor, and according to the number of years of the fruits, he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of years, thou shalt diminish the price thereof. And according to the number of years of the fruits, doeth he sell unto thee. Ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. He's basically telling you, listen, we're not going to take advantage of one another. I'm laying this out for you. Do not take advantage of one another. And if you look and you go forward and you go on into Mark, Luke, Paul, any of those areas in there, James, you will see in there that God has made it clear, love thy neighbor as thyself. This is really the same thing. It's a direct parallelism there. Not to take advantage of any of us, each other. So you could see that in there, and it's very interesting, but most people don't see that, and I see that. That doesn't mean I'm right. It depends on how you interpret it. So, wherefore ye do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land in safety, and the land shall yield her fruit, and you shall eat your fill and dwell therein safely. And if you say, what shall we eat on the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the eighth year and eat yet out of the old fruit until the ninth year, until the fruits come, and ye shall eat of the old store. And the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, and ye are strangers and sojourners with me, travelers with me. Here's the thing. Now he's making it clear. See, this is not our world. He's making it clear. It is mine. And this is where we make our mistakes as human beings. We actually think that we own stuff. We don't. We don't. That's the truth of it. And the land in your possessions ye shall grant a redemption for the land. If thy brother be waxen poor and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if a man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus to the man whom he sold it, that he may return unto him, unto his possessions. But if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath bought it until the year of Jubilee. And in the Jubilee it shall go out, and he shall return unto his possession. And if a man sell a dwelling house in a walled city, then he may redeem it within the whole year after it is sold. Within the full year he may redeem it. If it not be redeemed within the space of a full year, then the house that is in the walled city shall be established forever to him that bought it throughout his generations. It shall not go out in the Jubilee. But houses of the villages which have no wall around them shall be counted as fields of the country. They may be redeemed, and they shall go out in the Jubilee. Notwithstanding, the cities of the Levites and the houses of the cities of their possession may the Levites redeem at any time. And if a man purchase of the Levites, then the house that was sold and the city of his possessions shall go out in the year of the Jubilee. For the houses of the city of the Levites are possession among the children of Israel. But the field of the suburbs of their cities may not be sold, for it is their perpetual possession. If any brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay of thee, then thou shalt relieve him. Yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bond servant, but as a hired servant, and as a sojourner, he shall be with thee and shall serve thee until the year of Jubilee. And then he shall depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and he shall return unto his own family. Sorry about that, guys. For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. Thou shalt not rule over them with rigor, but shall fear thy God. Both thy bondmen and thy bondmaids, which thou have, shall be shall be heathen and are round about you. Of them shall ye bondmen and bondmaids. Moreover, the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, of them shall ye buy, and of their families are with you, which they begat in your land, and they shall be your possession. And ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, ye shall not rule one over another with rigor. And if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth with him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or the sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is near of kin unto him of his family may redeem him, or he be able, he may redeem himself. And he shall reckon with him that bought him for the year that he was sold to him unto the year of Jubilee. And the price of the sale shall be according unto the number of years, according to the time of a hired servant shall it be with him. If there be yet many years behind him, according to them he shall give again, and the price of his redemption out of the money that he was bought for. And if there remain but a few years unto the Jubilee, then he shall count with him, and according unto his years shall he give him again the price of his redemption. And a yearly hired servant shall be with him, and the other shall not rule with rigor over him in thy sight. And if he be not redeemed in these years, then he shall go out into the year of Jubilee, both he and his children with him. For unto me the children of Israel are servants. They are my servants, who I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So in this Jubilee, you have this time frame where you can go ahead, you can buy yourself back, because let's face it, people were buying and selling all the time. Well, God is saying you're not going to rule over your brother if you do this, and you have to give him a certain amount of time to buy his freedom back, or you know, have his family redeem it and everything. But there's rules, and he's making up the rules of this. So, and if it's not done by this time, then okay, part of it is you can go, and part of it is if you still owe, then you know it, that time somebody will be able to redeem it, hopefully. All right, let's get on to basic requirements of obedience. And this is very clear, and this is Leviticus 26 on page 155. The Jubilee thing still throws me for a little bit of a loop. I'd love another opinion on this. I really would, because this has always been one of these things. And there's, it's absolutely wonderful, but it's very hard to interpret that. And I have a hard time with that. All right, let's go with the basic requirements of obedience. You shall make no idols, no graven image, neither rear up you up a standing image. Neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. So he's talking about pillars, anything. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. The conditions and results of obedience. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, ye practice them, then I will give you rain in the due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lay down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land, and you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 8 and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect upon you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new, so your supply. And I will set my tabernacle among and among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and make you go upright. So God is telling you, and he's telling all of us, you know, at this time he's addressing the 12 tribes, Israel, Moses, and all of them. But this holds true to us today, that you know, if we walk, if we practice with God, if we diligently study and learn and change the ways that we are, God will be with us. And boy, is it ever true. I mean, it's just incredible the things that he's done for me and my family. And, you know, every day there's something new, and he blesses me with something new all the time. So it's just absolutely incredible. All right, so let's go to the conditions and the results of disobedience. These are the things that are going to happen. Now, this will get, this is going to be kind of an awakening for a lot of people, because, and you're going to see as we go through this, the same things that were happening then are still happening today. There's not much difference here. So let's get on with it. Here we go. We're on Leviticus 26:14, the conditions and results of disobedience, page 156, King James. But if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you tear, consumption, the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of the heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more than your sins. Seven times more than your sins. It's very interesting, because if you remember when Cain did what he did to Abel, and he said, I can't handle this, and they're going to kill me out there. This is too much of me. And he says, anyone who touches you, I am going to punish sevenfold, seven times. And then when you start to get on over to, is it Lamech? And we started to move on in Genesis. He said, well, if they punish Cain seven times, then they're going to get 77 times punished for me. And it was interesting because as we got to the New Testament, there was another parallelisms there. You know, Rabbi, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? No, 77 times. So here we are. God is, he set this up. He's very direct and very precise on exactly how this will be. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven is iron and your earth is brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. Your land shall not yield in her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number. And your highways shall be desolate. And if ye will not be reformed by these things, but will walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you and shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of thy enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight. And you shall eat it, and it shall not be satisfied. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins. And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. And I will destroy your high places, cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries into desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors, and I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the brethren, and I will draw out the sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lieth desolate, and be in your enemy's land. Even shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwell upon it. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into the hearts of the lands of the enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were, before a sword, when no one pursueth. And ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies, and ye shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in the iniquity in your enemies' lands. Also in the iniquities of the fathers shall they pine away with them. I mean, there's not much to say here. God is letting you know, for every sin, here you go. It's going to be seven times, and I will punish you. And he's letting him know, you will do this. You will obey. You will follow my covenants. I am the Lord your God. I did bring you out of Egypt. So let's see what the promise of restoration is in verse 20. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers and their trespass, which they have trespassed against me, and that also that they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and then they accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. I will remember, and I will remember the land. The land shall also be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths, while she lieth desolate without them. And then they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they despised my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. And yet for all that, when they be in the hand of thy enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them, to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them. For I am the Lord their God. But I will remember for their sakes, remember the covenant with their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. And this is kind of cool. We're going to finish up right here. The consecration of persons. And we're going to get in this because we're right at the end of Leviticus. So let's finish this up. And we are on chapter 27, page 157. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when a man shall make a singular vow, the persons shall be for the Lord, by thy estimation, valuation and stuff. And thy estimation shall be the male from 20 years old, even unto 60 years old. Even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver, after the shekels of the sanctuary. And if it be a female, then thy estimation shall be 30 shekels. And if it be from 5 years old, even until 25 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 20 shekels, and the female 10 shekels. And if it be from a month old, even unto 5 years old, then the estimation shall be of the male 5 shekels of silver, and for the female thy estimation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And if it be from 60 years old and above, if it be a male, then thy estimation shall be 15 shekels, and for the female, 10 shekels. But if he be poorer than thy estimation, then he shall present himself before the priest, and the priest shall value him according to his ability that vowed, shall the priest value him. So here is the consecration of the animals. And if it be a beast whereof men bring an offering unto the Lord, all that any man giveth of such unto the Lord shall be holy. He shall not alter it nor change it, good for a bad or bad for a good. And if he shall at all change the beast for beast, then the exchange thereof shall be holy. And if it be any unclean beast of which they do not offer a sacrifice unto the Lord, then he shall present the beast before the priest, and the priest shall value it, whether it be good or bad, as though values it. Who art the priest? So it shall be. But if he will at all redeem it, then he shall add a fifth part thereunto thy estimation. So here's the consecration of houses. And when a man shall sanctify his house, to be holy unto the Lord. Then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad, as the priest shall estimate it, so it shall stand. And if he sanctifieth, will redeem his house, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be his. That's for buying it back. All this is for buying and buying it back and what the price is. And if, and here we go. But if he sanctify his field, here's the fields. And if a man shall sanctify unto the Lord some part of a field of his possession, then thy estimation shall be according to the seed thereof. A homer of a barley seed shall be the value at 50 shekels of silver. And if he sanctify his field from the year of Jubilee, according to thy estimation, it shall stand. But if he sanctify his field after the Jubilee, then the priest shall reckon unto him the money according to the years that remain, even under the year of Jubilee, and it shall be abated from thy estimation. And if he that sanctified the field will in any wise redeem it, then he shall add a fifth part of money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be assured to him. And if he will not redeem it, the field, or if he have not sold the field to another man, it shall not be redeemed any more. But if the field, when it goeth out in the Jubilee, shall be holy unto the Lord, as a field devoted, the possession thereof shall be the priest's. And if any man sanctify unto the Lord a field which he hath bought, which is not of the fields of his possession, then the priest shall reckon unto him the worth of thy estimation, even unto the year of Jubilee, and he shall give thy estimation in that day as a holy thing unto the Lord. In the year of Jubilee, the field shall return unto him of whom it was bought, even to him of whom the possession of the land did belong. And that is the last part of Leviticus. Very tough book. Numbers isn't going to get much easier. Old Testament in a couple of spots is really hard. It's great, but it needs to be, you have to know it. It's the same with Chronicles. It's the same all the way around. Very tough to read and to understand. Of course, I'm not a priest, a bishop, or anything like that, so it's even harder for me. And I've read the Bible numerous times, but the one thing that I do like, and I always like saying, is that it's absolutely the most wonderful love story that there is, and it's true. So it's great. We are going to dive in next week. I'm not doing a full show tonight. I'm a little bit heated. I didn't feel great yesterday. I was outside and I overdid it because I did feel good in the morning. So, but we're going to get on to Numbers, page 162, chapter 1, the first census of Israel. So we're gonna find out exactly how that goes. So we are going to be right here. And we are on 623. And we have read a good bit. I wish I had better interpretations or explanations for some of these, but really in the Old Testament in some of these spots, Leviticus, Numbers, Chronicles, and a couple other spots are very hard. And this is what frustrates, I think, a lot of people. But you have to keep doing it, and you have to keep practicing it, and you have to keep asking God to help give you more and more understanding. It's very difficult to do. But I enjoy reading it. Remember, I'm just a guy that loves reading the Bible. I hope that you would join in, chime in sometime, and then we'll go from there. Anyway, I hope you have a great week, folks. We'll talk to you next week.